This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Amazon Five Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. Five stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. And if you want more shows every week, on Thursdays, we release an extra show on the website for members only. So if you want more of The Confessionals, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today. Now, we got a great show planned for you today, but before we get into it, I want to let everybody know that a few weeks ago, I announced that me and my father were going to be launching a new podcast called Hammer Lane Legends, very similar format to The Confessionals, where we're going to be talking to people who drive for a living, truck drivers, EMTs, police officers, firemen, bus drivers, anybody who has wild, crazy experiences that they've been through on the road. They're going to be coming on Hammer Lane Legends and telling their stories to the whole world. Mark it on your calendars and go ahead and subscribe today. It's available on all your podcast playing apps, and there's a trailer sitting there waiting for you so you know what you're getting into on March 3rd, 2020. And just just a reminder, we are going to be at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference as vendors. So if you want to come out and meet me, my wife, my son, my brother Jack, and my sister Tanya, go to the OhioBigfootConference.org and purchase your tickets for the conference. If you just want to hang out in the vendors area and meet us and meet all the vendors, meet the speakers, and buy a bunch of cool Bigfoot stuff, that is free entry. All you have to do is show up to Salt Fork State Park Lodge and hang out and meet us and take pictures and all that fun stuff. So hopefully I'll see you there at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference on May 2nd, 2020. Now today we got a great show planned for you. We have Nick coming on the show, and Nick's going to share some of his paranormal experiences that he's been through throughout his whole life. But we actually kind of connected some dots for Nick at one point when we were talking about the experience he had as a kid where he saw these soldiers in his home. But also later on in his life, he had some paranormal experiences that were kind of, well, really nerve-wracking. And so we're going to get into it right now with Nick. Let's go. All right, today we have Nick on the show, and a little bit later we're going to be having Nick's wife come on the show with Nick to talk about some things that they've been experiencing together. But things kind of, for Nick at least, all started in his childhood. Nick, when I was reading your email, it sounded like you lived in a haunted home of some kind when you were a kid. Before we get going on that, Nick, how you doing?
Doing great, Tony. Great. I'm really excited that I get the opportunity to share my story with you, man.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to have you on and stuff. And it's always nice to be able to have, a couple come on and tell their story together sometimes, because sometimes some people remember certain details than others, and you get different perspectives and vantage points. And so it should be a good time. So why don't you just kind of get us going here a little bit with the start of your childhood, really, and having these experiences in your parents' home?
Well, I was about five, maybe 6 years old. And it happened, I was living in Louisiana at the time, and when I say in the woods, we were like deep woods. And I remember going to bed an evening, and I'll give you a visual basically of the trailer where my room, to where it'll make more sense. My room was separated by a bathroom between me and my parents' room. And I remember my mom putting me to bed, and I'm laying in the bed. She tells me goodnight. She goes on ahead and goes into the room with my dad. And when I looked over, they had a nightlight in the bathroom, and I could almost see like an image of something in the bathroom. And I just kept focusing on that. And being a kid, my mind was kind of racing. And as I stared a little bit more into it, I started to see like a shadowy image of like a person, you know, starting to show up in the bathroom. And I kept focusing. I was not startled at the time by it. And then I realized it started to have multiple images of people where there was like, I would say maybe 9 or 10 images of just people in a line. And the next thing I know, it's like everything went from being blurry to more detailed to where I could actually see, and you could see the faces. And it looked like they were wearing almost like military clothes from back in, I don't even know what to say timeline, but way back in the day, like when they didn't have the uniforms they have of today. They're talking like maybe Civil War type uniforms. And I still didn't freak out until, like, just all at once, they all turned and looked my direction. Well, Tony, when they looked my direction, I freaked out. I mean, I can still remember the images. It was just spooked me out. So I scream. I'm like, Mom, you know, screaming for my mom. She comes into the room and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, there's people in the bathroom. And she's like, what? I was like, yeah, I see people in the bathroom. And she's like, baby, there's nobody in the bathroom. She turned the light on. Sure enough, nobody in there. So she went back and laid back down, turned the lights off. Well, then I started looking up and I had two pictures of a little boy and a girl, and they're in like a rocker, and one of them sitting on the ground reading a little book. And I was just staring off once again at the pictures, and it looked like all of a sudden, like they started like morphing, as in like changing, almost not melting, but, you know, like kind of moving and stuff. And that freaked me out once again. So I screamed again. By this time, my mom was getting frustrated. And she's like, there's nothing. You're going to be okay. It's no problems. So it freaked me out, just to say, you know. And I know when I was a kid that kind of stuff will happen to some kids, you know, but just being spooked out by something. Well, time went by, and I noticed when I'd go, you know, like maybe a couple of days or might have been a week later, I was in the living room during the daytime, and I could hear, like, voices, you know, when I was sitting down playing on the floor, and I can remember hearing voices. I'm like, I couldn't make out what it was saying. It was almost like it was mumbling. And it just kept on and kept on. Well, I would turn around. Of course, I'd tell my mom. At this time, my mom's probably thinking something's wrong with me. But she just said, well, you know, it's going to be okay, baby. No problem. It's just, you know, you're hearing things. You know, something in the background. No worries. Well, I could hear, like, whispering in my ear and over. It was just like it would spook me out. So that passed. Well, a couple months, I guess, down the road, there was a hallway that goes to my parents' room, and I was dreaming, actually, sleeping and dreaming, and I woke up, and there was something before I woke up. I'm sorry, in my dream, I was dreaming there was something in the hallway. I don't know, like some type of figure, of a dark figure. And it just, like, it was just in my dream, like, it was like I couldn't go down the hall. Something was telling me not to go down the hallway. Well, I eventually woke up, spooked out, and I guess about a week later, it's like my dream came true. I started walking down the hallway at night. It was dark. And I remember it was like almost like a shadow figure. And it was standing, like, toward the end of the hallway where the doorway was. And all I could feel was, like, fear and almost, like, anger. Like, I just wanted to scream at it to leave me alone. And I remember it just, like, reaching out to me, like, trying to grab me. And I remember screaming and running and telling my mom again. Well, needless to say, she told me everything was fine again. She was like, you know, don't stress it, don't worry about it. And it was just a really scary situation. And I know you've spoken, I've heard of, you know, the shadow figures and stuff like that. And it just kind of, I would assume that it would have been like a shadow person or something. And it just, to this day, I can see the image. It's like been embedded in my head of seeing this image of this shadow reaching out to me. So, other than that, I remember it was about a few years later, we moved to Orlando, Florida, and I was laying on the sofa. I don't remember exactly how old I was. There was another incident. I'm sorry. After the shadow reached for me, then there was another incident where when I was sleeping, I fell asleep, and I was looking out. And I could see, it looked like, almost like more people, of shadow people, and they were all like, just going along casually, you know, in this bathroom again. And I remember, once again, they turned to me. So all these incidents had happened throughout, you know, when I was 5 or 6 years old. And then we moved to Orlando, and I was probably 8 and a half, maybe 9 years old. And I remember laying down, and I fell asleep on the sofa, and it was so weird. I mean, sometimes we have dreams that you wake up and almost feel so real, like you just lived it, you know? And then there's this situation, it was so different because when I woke up in my dream, I was dreaming that there was this shadow figure, and it was coming almost not from the ceiling, I guess, but from the wall. It was reaching and lunging and coming toward me. And then it's like it hit me in my chest or in my stomach. Well, when I opened my eyes, I was like in shock, you know, like something just nailed me, basically. And when I opened my eyes, I remember I couldn't breathe, like the wind had been knocked out of me. And that same feeling that I once had when I was younger about that shadow figure reaching, it all came back again, like it was happening again. So that basically was the sum of everything on, you know, on the situations when I was younger. The story that my wife is going to share with us together, that's going to be a lot more longevity of details.
So before we get onto those topics and stuff, I wanted to ask you a few questions here.
Sure.
I guess, first of all, in Orlando, the shadow figure that you saw, did it have a face or anything? Was there any details other than it being just an outline of a shadow?
It had a face. It was hard to make it out, but the eyes, they were like almost a see-through white, pale-looking eyes, and it was basically the same. I want to say it was the same eyes I seen when I was a kid, when I was real little, but of course, being 5 or 6, it was hard to remember. But I know it did have eyes, and it was like almost like it had a grin. Kind of like I got you kind of grin, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because I was just thinking about that because I just had a guy on the show not too long ago who said that he had this entity coming out of a wall and it had a smile on its face as it was coming towards him. And
really?
I was picturing the same thing as you were telling the story, and I can't believe you just said that because it sounds like a mirror image of what this guy experienced. It was just, the show is called Say It With a Smile. And
I have to check that out for sure.
I think, if I recall correctly, the reason why we titled it that was because he either heard it and it said something, or he heard it in his head. But I think he was trying to say, like, rebuke in the name of Jesus. And it was like, say it.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, but he couldn't. I don't think he could say it. I might be remembering it wrong, but I do remember that's why we named it that, because it was coming out of the wall and it had a big smile on his face. Now, when you saw this thing coming out of the wall, you saw it coming out of the wall, right? Am I remembering that?
Right.
Okay.
It came from the wall, right? Not the ceiling so much, but more of like the wall.
But higher up the wall.
Almost like it would be, okay, imagine if you're looking at a wall, at a corner of the wall, and you're looking at a cathedral ceiling, which is a higher-end ceilings, think of like it's sitting in the corner, almost like a spider web. And it just lunged like straight out. And I mean, so fast, it was, before you could even react, it was there.
That's incredible. I think he said the same exact thing. I really do. I think he was saying that it was high up on the wall towards the corner of the wall, and it was coming out of the wall and towards him. And I think he described it as he didn't see the bottom half. The bottom half is like almost still in the wall. It was just like stretching out at him. But that's incredible that you say that, because it sounds almost identical to what he told me.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I know that, like I said, the face was pretty detailed on the fact of the grin. It wasn't like a big teeth white smile. But it was just like almost like a grin that, like I said, it's like, I got you. Like, you know, you're not going anywhere. Almost like a nasty way of just saying, I got you. And that's how I felt anyway. So when that happened, I just remember my breath was gone. I couldn't breathe. I was gasping to the point where my mother comes into the room. And she was asking me, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? And I finally caught my breath. And I was like, yeah. And I explained to her what happened. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She was starting to freak out a little bit, too. And I was like, I never would have imagined it physically being able to do something, you know. That was never. I mean, I had a fear for it when I was younger. And like I said, even an anger, almost like, it's kind of almost like you just don't want to go. You're trying to get away from something, but it's holding on to you. And you're fighting to get away from it. And that's how it kind of felt. Almost like a drowning feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, your mom, nobody else recalls at least having these types of experiences. It's just you?
Yeah, it's, it was, well, my sister, she was 5 years younger than me. So, I mean, I haven't spoken to her about this directly. My mom, on the other hand, to this day, she remembers, but she's never had anything. My dad, I think something happened to him, but he would be the last one to tell you. So he would just blow it off as something else. I mean, we never had any, like, major incidents that's happened there. It was just, and then I started thinking, I mean, out in the country, but then how does that, it's almost like it kind of freaked me out, because how does it connect from me living in Louisiana with a flashing light as the main light of the street lights, with a community of maybe 600 people, to going to Orlando, Florida, where, of course, you know what Orlando's size is, for it to have a connection like that to me, you know? And that bothered.
Yeah, I can understand how that would bother you. And I think we'll revisit that in a little bit here. Mm-hmm. But I want to kind of go back to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And where in Louisiana was this?
This was about, it's toward the south central Louisiana area.
Do you remember the town or anything?
Yeah, it's called Richard. It's spelled Richard. If anybody's listening to your podcast from there, they'll know exactly who I am, because that's how that town works. It's a real small town. It is, and I'm a research guru. I do research a lot of things. I'm, you know, just always been that way. And I started looking up stuff to find out the clothing that I've seen on them, the uniforms. And I started to try to get more in detail of what that might have, maybe, you know, how to connect that. And the only thing that I could come up with, they had what they called back long time ago, back in the, I believe it was during the Civil War time, or it might have even been the American Revolution time, I'm not sure, but they were, they're called Fighting Tigers, and they were out of Louisiana, they were Cajuns, they wore, I swear, it almost looks like a clown outfit, but they're like baggy pants with stripes, and with just a regular collared shirt type look, and that's very similar. It almost looked to that detail of what that kind of looked like. That's why I was like, oh my gosh, did I see something that had happened back, you know, back in the day in a war or something? But I mean, I didn't have enough details to be able to connect it to them.
Well, I think it's interesting that you saw the soldier types. And I think you said your first encounter was these soldier types in the bathroom, and then your last was soldier types, right? So there was a Civil War battle in, it's called Vermilion.
The Vermilion Bayou? Yeah, it's familiar.
Yeah, the Vermilion Bayou. There was a battle there in the Civil War. And I just looked up Richard, Texas, or Richard, whatever you said it was
Richard.
Spelled. Richard. It is spelled, yeah. Richard. And it's not that far. It's really not that far. And it makes you wonder if there was some kind of attachment there.
That, you know, that's a good possibility, because, you know, the weird thing is, and I started thinking about this too, is that I wasn't scared really of the soldiers. It wasn't like the fear that hit me until they looked at me, of course, and it's like, holy crap. But the fear wasn't there. And, you know, it was just kind of like almost of a peak of interest. I was interested. It was like kind of cool, I guess, you know, it was weird. But then, with the black shadow entity, that thing there, there's fear. And I don't know if that's somewhere connected with the war or something that had happened or something that an evil entity or something, but it definitely, that was the only, seeing, I mean, I'm 41 years old now, so I've had quite a few years to think about it. So that was my thoughts, is if that would be connected, was there some type of gruesome death or something, or that caused an entity to come out like that, or what?
It's interesting. Because, I mean, where you're talking about, it's not far from Lafayette, right?
No, actually, I worked when I lived over there. I moved back to Louisiana for a short period of time, and I did work out of Lafayette. So I know exactly where Lafayette, Louisiana is. I have friends there, too.
Okay. I think it'd be really interesting for you to look into this this battle, because I'm looking at the maps, and I'm looking at a map of all the battles in Louisiana from the Civil War, and I'm looking at a map on Google Maps where you told me you were from, and it's, I'm not even kidding you, it's right there. It's exact.
Exact. Oh, wow.
I mean, I dropped my pin right around the Richard Elementary School. And
yeah, that's, you know, that's where Richard, what we're famous for, if you would consider it being famous, there's a they're a real strong Catholic religion there, and there's a Catholic church, there's an elementary K through 8 school, and there's a cemetery. Well, the cemetery is an old cemetery, but it has a saint. She was killed. She died when she was 13, I believe, or 12, but they gave her sainthood or whatever they call that. So they were kind of, it was, if you look up Richard, Louisiana saints, you'd find her. And that was the only thing that town was ever known for that I knew of. But being that you said that there was military, there was a war, that's a good chance. I mean, dude, if you go out there, I've heard you speak of Bigfoot, so there's a lot of area out there you might be able to find a Bigfoot. That's how many woods it is, you know? It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this battle that's on this map that I'm looking at is about 5 miles away from the elementary school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it, if you're looking at the elementary school, would the battle be kind of like
east,
south or east?
It'd be east.
Yeah, see, I live a couple miles east of elementary school.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I swear, dude. I am not kidding. I am not kidding. I lived on a gravel road. We were surrounded, we were on 10 acres, and we were surrounded by rice fields. And it was literally like 2.5 miles, if I would say, from that elementary school. That's where I went to elementary school until I was 8.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible, Jeez. Right?
You just like shine some serious light on that, man. Awesome.
That's amazing. That is,
I definitely got to look into this.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of family that lives in Richard. So it'd be a good chance, maybe the older generations, to speak to them. Maybe they might know something.
That'd be a
I
great
was always
idea.
Scared to even speak of it because I didn't want to, I don't know. I don't know if you know about Louisiana, but Louisiana, when it comes to any type of ghost or spirits, first thing people think is voodoo or witchcraft.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of talking going on about that kind of stuff there.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's really interesting. Now, do you think that these were different entities you were seeing, like, I mean, between the soldiers and the shadow figures in Louisiana?
Yeah, there was a difference. The shadow figure in Louisiana was in the house in the hallway, like I was saying. And then when I moved to Orlando, the shadow figure was in the living room, in the corner of the living room, when I fell asleep on the sofa. So that, and then now, years down the road, after I explain everything with me and my wife, once we go through that, I think it'll really, I don't know if it's this entity, but you're going to hear a lot of interesting happenings that has happened since me and my wife got together back in 2013. So I don't even know if it's tied in. The median we spoke to, and we'll get into more detail of that, said it wasn't, but, you know, who knows? I don't know how much I don't know how much I trust mediums or psychics, but who knows?
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I think when it comes to medium and psychics, I think there are a lot of phonies out there, but I think there are people who actually are able to do what they're advertising.
Hey, P, they said I gotta come off the bench.
Yep. All right, let me talk to you about a company that is personally connected to the show, FMF Custom Screen Print and Design. FMF stands for Fort Myers, Florida, and this is a print company that will print things on your clothing, anywhere from a logo to personal designs, anything you want. They do custom clothing, hats, vinyl decals, koozies. They do a lot of cool prints, and all you got to do is shoot them an email with a description of what you want and start the communication, and they take it from there. This company, FMF Custom Screen Print is the company that provides all the confessionals apparel when we do live events. They are very closely connected to the show. We're very happy with the quality that we get with them, and you will be too. So if you have custom apparel needs, whether it's for your company, family vacations, or group events, go to fmfscreenprint.com. That's fmfscreenprint.com. Or email them at fmfscreenprint@gmail.com. They will get back to you and start the process of your custom design. Why don't we bring your wife on now and start, you know, talking to her?
All right. I have a 4-year-old daughter that I might not be able to. He wants to talk with you as well as me. Yeah, I might not be able to do it, Tony, okay, with my daughter.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
No. So
I can go through it. I'm pretty much on point on details of what I can come up with to explain everything. I just also, I guess my wife, she's just experienced it, and I thought it might be for personal satisfaction for her to kind of get that off her chest too, you know?
Yeah, so, I can understand that. Well, yeah. Then why don't we just move in with you and have you share these experiences you guys had together in, I think, in Orlando, right?
Yeah, it happened in Orlando. This started... It's kind of ironic how this all happened. Me and my wife got together in 2013, and we moved in together in 2014. And everything was pretty good, you know, I mean, comfortable living. She had two boys, previous relationship. So I went in as a stepdad, becoming like their dad to them, you know, their fathers weren't in their lives, so therefore I was more to give that role. Happened, really it started in 2015, January 27th. Never forget the date. We were getting ready on a Saturday morning. We were getting ready to go grab breakfast. So me and my wife were in the room, and we were getting dressed and whatnot. The boys were in their rooms, and my wife looked over, and my wife is a huge picture person, right? She loves pictures. Every picture you can imagine, she cherishes them. That's her thing. So there was a picture in a frame on the side of our bed, on our side bed table, of me and her. And it was really the first picture we took. My birthday, September 1st, hers is September 2nd. So it was a birthday picture of me and her together. Well, the picture was missing. So she looked at me and she's like, baby, you've seen the picture. And I was like, no. So I haven't seen that picture. I said, did you clean or did you move it? And she was like, no. I was like, all right. So we were looking around, couldn't find it. And started to get a little agitated because it's like the picture was there. So I said, well, I started thinking, okay, I'm kind of new into the family. Maybe the boys, they seem, we get along, but maybe there's resentment or something. I don't know. So I brought the boys into the room. I said, look, guys, do y'all know anything about the picture that was sitting right here on the nightstand? And they both kind of looked in shock, like, no. And me being me, I was like, look, I give you $20 right now if you can show me where this picture is. And they both looked at me and they were like, we'll take you $20, so we don't know where the picture is. So I was like, y'all really don't know, do you? And they were like, no. And as soon as they walked out the room, Tony, you hear like a fall of something falling behind where the TV and the nightstand is in the corner. And me and my wife both looked at each other and were like, what the hell? So we walk over, and sure enough, behind the TV, in a position I could not even do if I tried, the picture is sit straight up and down up against the back of the TV, just sitting there. And I looked at my wife and I'm like, what the heck's going on? What is this? And she's like, oh my God, I don't know. So we grabbed the picture. Well, she had some rose petals from her grandfather's funeral that were sitting as well as on the bedside table. We had a few objects, you know, items there. Well, we go to put the picture back and the petals are gone. And she's like, Nick, the pedals were just right here, baby. And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, I felt like something's going on. And I started, you know how you get that eerie feeling? Like something really is not right?
Yeah.
Well, I started feeling that, and so did she. So we turn around and we look around for the pedals, and we go. She went into the restroom in our master bathroom, and it was the pedals were sitting on top of the on top of the sink, next to the sink. So she was like, "I didn't put them here, Nick," and I was like, "No, I know. I don't know what's going on." So I said, "Look, we're going to get breakfast. Let's just go." And she's like, "All right." So we go to walk out. Well, she had on her dresser, like I said, she loves pictures. There was probably about 12 pictures of her, the boys, and things like that, you know, of baby pictures or whatnot. Tony, all the pictures are laid down, like literally laid down. And we're both freaking out now. We're like, okay, something is tripping now. We walk out of the room. Did not want to mess with nothing. I was ready to get out of the room and go catch my breath, basically. So we walk out of the room into the living room, and then the door, when we walk out, the door closes. Bam. And I'm like, oh, my God. So we started kind of freaking out a little bit, and we went. I went back into the room. I was like, I want to see what's going on. So I opened the door, and when I opened the door, they had a stuffed animal that I bought for her for Valentine's Day. It was a little monkey with a heart on the top. It was sitting right in the middle of the room, just on the floor, just sitting there. So we're tripping. We're like, this isn't right. I don't know what we're going to do, but this isn't right. So we walk out. She calls her mother, you know, freaking out, telling her what's going on. She was like, it sounds like you'll have an issue. And I'm like, yeah. So we go from there to go eat breakfast. We went ahead and left. Went ate breakfast thinking, okay, we're going to come back and we're going to, we made a few calls. We called her dad, which used to be a minister. So we called her dad and he said, well, if you go in the Bible, there's verses that you can recite, like Archangel Michael, different verses that he had given us to be able to recite in the name of Jesus to get rid of this and whatever it was. So we go back in and we start doing this. Well, whatever it was, it worked. You know, we read the verses, we demanded it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, and it worked. It left, whatever it was. So we go ahead and it was the next day we wake up. And we, you know, it was a Sunday. We had to, I think it was, yeah, Sunday, we're going to Disney. Like I told you earlier, my wife worked at Disney, so we were going to go to Disney to kind of get our mind off of everything. We go to Disney, hung out, did our thing, come back. Well, when we come back, the blinds had like a creak in it, like somebody was looking out of the blinds. So I told my wife, I was like, do you remember messing with the blinds? She's like, no. I was like, oh, boy. I said, let's go see what's going on. So we went inside. The pictures were laid down again. They had, I think it was, what, the petals and another picture underneath her pillow. They had the fan that we had left off. It was on. And the door that we left open was closed. So all these things started happening again. Well, my wife said, look, I don't feel comfortable sleeping in that room. Don't, because it was all connected into that room. Everything was happening in that room. So she said, I don't want to sleep in that room. I don't want to be in that room. I was like, all right. I said, sleep with the boys in the back room. We'll just sleep, and I'll sleep on the sofa or whatever. So we went ahead and went to bed. Well, in the middle of the night, it was just an eerie feeling regardless. You could hear things in that room moving. Couldn't really tell what it was, just you could hear a ruffling here, a movement here, there, blinds, shower curtain. I could hear it slapping against the side. And I'm like, hard to get some sleep. We wake up, and we had to go to work. Well, on our way to work, my wife called a median lady. Her name was Heidi. I won't give your last name, but she's an internationally known medium, supposed to be really good. And we spoke to her. So she said, you know, when y'all get home from work, I'll come over and, you know, assess the things and see what I can come up with. So we were like, okay. Well, we get home. She meets us there. We go into the house. Now, Tony, when you walk into the house, Ron, I mean, it was in the middle of, like, it was around January, into January, so it was in the colder months. But I think the temperature outside must have been 80s, you know, 80. We were in Orlando, you know, by the heat. So I'm sitting there and walked in with her, and it was so cold in that house, dude. Like, I mean, almost like breathtaking cold. And she just, she knew, like the median lady said, oh my gosh. She's like, I feel it. I sense something right now. She says, I'm sensing something very, very strong. And I was like, yeah, it's strong enough to physically move things. I was like, whatever this thing is. Well, she says, well, let's go and we're going to check out the kids' rooms first before we go into that room. So we walk into the room, to the boys' room, one of the rooms, and she goes to the closet and she opens the closet and she says, there's a little girl in this closet. And I'm like, okay, now this is where I start thinking, okay, is this woman serious or is she just saying this or what's going on? And she's like, it's a little girl, but she's harmless. She's lost. And I'm like, okay. I was like, then I'm not worried about the girl. What about the thing that's moving stuff? So we walk into the living room, and she says, what thing you're looking for is it's inside that room right there. And I said, yeah. She's like, I can feel it. She opens the door. And Tony, when she opened the door, it slammed on her. Closed back. Boom. And she kind of jumped back like, and oh my God. And she was like, okay, I'm going to try this again. And she's trying to communicate, she said, with this thing. So she opens it again. And when she opened it, she turned the light on. And she walked into the room. And she started trying to talk to it, or whatever she does, and she says it wouldn't respond. It's not talking back to her. It doesn't want to speak to her. And she says she can sense it's a younger person. I was like, okay. She says it's like a 22-year-old, maybe 23-year-old boy, man. Like, okay. And my wife and me are both sitting there and just kind of all right now. We don't know what's going on, freaking out. Just, we're about ready to move out of this house, and I don't know, it's not easy to just grab everything up with kids and just move to another house, so we're trying to get this thing out of here. So she goes from trying to communicate to it to now demanding it to communicate with her. Well, she was getting a little louder. The light shut off, the door slams, and we're in this room. Now, the only light coming in is through the master bathroom. They have a little bit of a light from the, you know, where the blinds would be. So there's light coming in to see inside the room to where it ain't pitch black. So I'm like, oh, my God. I'm getting a little freaked out. She said, okay. She's like, we understand. She starts talking to it. And she says, I'm going to take some pictures. She told me and my wife, I'm going to take pictures. I was like, okay. So she started taking pictures. Well, and I told you I have these pictures, and I do have a couple of them that I'll send to you. But there's been a few of them that was on my wife's old phone that got submerged underwater, and we're not able to have them anymore. But she took the picture of, and then she showed it to us, and there's three orbs in the room. And when I mean orbs, they're orbs, and one of them small. Another one looked like it was kind of medium-sized, and the third one was huge, massive orb. And then right behind the big orb, we had, it was like a kind of like a dark red wall that we had, almost maroon. And you can almost see an outline of a face behind the orb. And she was like, that's it. That's what we're trying to get right here. She pointed it to me. I was like, okay. So she goes out and she has to be alone in the room. And I said, okay, no problem. Be alone. We're going to go out here. So we walk out, and I could hear her talking, communicating, and then she walks out. She said that she spoke with the thing, and it's gonna that it's bitter, and she feels that it's jealous because my wife's pregnant. That's what she said. And I was like, okay, I know she's pregnant. And she says, do you remember bringing anything home that would show that she was pregnant? I said, yeah, we brought the pictures, the sonogram pictures, back from the doctor a couple of days ago. And she says, okay, when it seen that, that's when it started acting up. I was like, really? Okay. So she says it's got a jealousy issue and it doesn't like me. And I said, I was getting aggravated almost to the point because I'm a grown man. I'm just a normal guy, you know, and I'm like, I got a woman I love, got these two kids that I love, and I'm like, come on, you know, this is crazy. I what am I supposed to do? So what if don't like me? Tell it to leave. And she's like, no. She's like, he won't leave until after the baby's born. So I said, okay. So me and my wife talked, and I said, well, we're going to move. We're going to have to find another house. And the next day, so we went to bed that night again, and the next day we went to work, and we come home, and we started looking for a house to rent or something or to move, and we couldn't find anything that day. And I remember walking in, and I asked my wife, she'd been home probably an hour before I got home from work. I asked her, I said, has there been anything going on? She said, oh, yeah. I was like, really? She was like, yeah, the door been shutting. She says, you can hear stuff in there. And I was like, I did something I probably shouldn't have done, but I kind of snapped. I got angry. Not, of course, at my wife, but at the situation with the ghosts. So I turn around. I said, look, I'm going to take a shower. I said, I'm going in the room. I'm going to get my stuff. I'm going to take a shower. So we're going to pack our stuff up after we eat, and we're going to go. We're going to go to a hotel, your mom somewhere. We're going to get out of here. This is bull. We can't live like this. So I walk into the room. My wife's following me. I go into the room. I reach down in the drawer. I pull the drawer open, grab my clothes. And as I'm grabbing my clothes, I felt this. It's so hard to explain, but imagine like icy hot, like the cream, and immediately just run across my back. I mean, just boom, hit me across my back. And it really freaked me out, of course. My wife saw my reaction. She's like, what's going on? And I stood up. And when I stood up, it felt like I'd been on the Gravitron for about 5 hours. I was spinning. I went straight to the bathroom. And I threw up. And my wife's freaking out. I'm freaking out. She says, are you okay? And I was like, I don't know what just happened. And she was like, well, what did it feel like? I was like, well, it felt like something ice cold just hit me across my back. And she said, well, lift your shirt up. And I lifted my shirt up. And Tony, I'm going to send you that picture because I do have that picture. It went across my back. And it looked like multiple times. And it has scratch marks, but not fingernails, almost like hands running across my back. And, dude, I ain't never got so freaked out. So me and my wife said, oh, hell no, we're gone. We're leaving. Now, she's in the middle of cooking meatloaf and some food. You know, we had our sides, macaroni, cheese, and rice, all that. We grab the food. We're throwing it all together. The boys are coming. They're like, what's going on? They're freaking out. I'm like, look, we got to go. We're just got to go. I didn't want to tell them what exactly happened. I don't want to scare them. But I said, we got to go. Well, we get all our stuff packed. We go running to get into the vehicle. We have two vehicles. So she gets in one car, and I'm getting in the other car. Now, we had, this kind of jump subject real quick, but we had a cat named Garfield that he was kind of a stray cat. He wasn't the friendliest cat, but he would pop in and out of the house here and there, you know, and he would hang out. Well, as we're driving down the road, Tony, I see something in the back of the car with my wife. So I'm calling her. I said, baby, she's like, what is it? I said, look behind you. She looks behind her. Dude, the cat done jumped in the car and is riding with her. That cat would have never ran and got in a car. Was in the car with the kids and her. So we drove all the way to her mom's. And for 2 weeks, we stayed at her mom's house. And that was the longest 2 weeks of my life. Not just because it was at my in-laws, but it was just so much going through our heads because everything that we once believed, my wife is like the most logical person that you'll ever meet. You know, there was no spirits or ghosts or anything like that. She never believed in it, never would have thought of that. Me, the only incidents that happened was when I was a kid, but I've never to this extreme or anything like that. So I'm like, we're both kind of in shock and in awe. So time goes, 2 weeks. We've been looking, dude, for a house. Looking and looking and looking. Can't find nothing. Because the boys have a specific school that they are zoned for. That is really hard to get the middle school and the elementary school in the same zoning. And I didn't want to pull them out of a school. So we were trying to find a house within that zone. Well, we found a house. Comes up for rent. Good price. We drive out to it. It's in the same neighborhood as the other house. But it's about 10 houses down at the end of the road away from it. You know, you don't ever have to pass the house. And I told my wife, I said, I'd rather just go, let's just get an apartment, you know, and wait it out if we have to. And she said, you know, she's like, and it was nicer than the house we lived in. So we're like, all right. We get the house. And, I forgot to tell you the last thing. We had to move all our stuff from the other house. I forgot to even mention that. That's why I told you my wife's better at the details. So we had to get a U-Haul to get out of the old house, you know, where the ghost was. So my wife's brother was going to help us, you know, he's going to help us move and everything. And I couldn't miss work that day. So she was going to go with her brother to package things and all that. So it was acting kind of foolish, but nothing bad. There was a couple incidents that happened, but nothing extreme. She was burning sage. She was saying prayers, everything she could to keep this thing contained. Well, they get everything packaged. I come in, we load the U-Haul. Only maybe a few doors slam, the bathroom door. We had the bedroom door slam and the lights went off and on twice. So it wasn't crazy. Get everything into the U-Haul. We had a few more items to grab. And I guess her brother wanted to be Mr. Tough Guy, you know. And he didn't believe in any of that stuff either. He thought it was all just a craziness. So he starts calling this thing out. There's nothing in the house but a few boxes and a couple of pots. And I was coming in through the front door of the house, and he was standing in the kitchen, and I can hear him, you know, F you, you're not real. If you're real, show me what you got or who you are. And I'm sitting there in awe walking in on this, and my wife said, I just told him, she's like, and the boys, of course, weren't there. It was just me, my wife, and him. And she's like, I tried to tell him, he's an idiot. I was like, all right, we got to go. And he's like, man, screw this thing. This thing ain't real. It ain't real. Look, it ain't got nothing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I can't even recreate it. A screeching yell, almost like if you were a dog yelping, almost, but like just real high pitch and loud screamed. I mean, bone chilling scream. And her brother went from I'm tough guy to oh my God. And as soon as that happened, all you hear now is the windows to the bathroom, the master bathroom, started like shaking. You could hear it slamming like something beating against it. Now he's running. He's like, screw this. And he took off running. As the garage door is closing, you could hear the garage door start slamming like it was shaking. And we got in the U-Haul and we left. So I forgot to tell you that part. But that, and now her brother is a serious believer about this stuff now. Well, we get into this house. Like I was saying, we decided we're going to move into this house. about 10 houses down from the old house. I was still skeptical about it. We even spoke to the landlord about it, to the point where we explained to her, look, if something comes up, can we be month to month? And she agreed. So we're in this new house. Dude, everything is beautiful. It is calm, no worries. You can almost, like, you could feel the relief. And when you're sitting in that other house, and this thing was riled up, you could feel the evil, that the nastiness that it had. And in this new house, there was nothing. It was like bright sun. It was beautiful. And everything was well. So all the way through this period of time until we got to the beginning of April, or to mid-April, our oldest boy, Dalton, he wanted to get this tablet, right? So we ordered it for him. Well, they were going to deliver it by mail to our house. Tony, don't you know this tablet goes to our old house down the road to that address? And we never, I'm serious, we never put that address in. We put the new address, and everything was for this new house that we were staying at. But it went to the old house. The only reason we knew that is because we called UPS to track it, to find out, because it had been, like, past due. It should have already been delivered, and it was showing it was delivered and signed for. And we're like, we didn't get it. So this tablet has been sent over to this other house. So now we got to go get this tablet from the old house. I almost said I would just buy you a new tablet, but we don't have that kind of money, right? So I told my wife, I said, let's go down there. I said, somebody signed for this thing. That kind of takes me off as much as it does right there. Somebody could just steal it. And I don't know, I'm hard-headed. I don't want nobody getting away with taking my stuff. So we knock on the door. They open the door. It's a young guy, probably 30-something. And he's like, yeah, I signed for this. I thought it was for my mom. And he says, you know, I just signed for it. And my wife couldn't help it. She says, have you noticed anything about this house or anything going on in this house? He says, yeah, it's funny you say that. He says, I can always hear, like, some noises coming from the back bedroom over there by the closet. And she's like, okay, I was just wondering. And as soon as she got done saying that, she got ill. And it's almost like something jumped her, like it came at her. So we get back in the car. She's spinning. She feels, and she's pregnant. And we're on our way home. I was like, okay, don't panic. We're getting away. We get back home to our new house, and we're sitting there, and she's like, I think it knows we're back. And I'm like, what? She's like, I'm serious. I think it knows it. I said, nah, I think you're overthinking it. Well, Easter comes. And we had her niece, which is like my niece now, so our niece comes over for Easter along with the boys, you know, and we're doing the Easter baskets and all that. And it was about, I guess, 10 o'clock in the morning. My niece walks up to the refrigerator, and she goes to open the refrigerator. Well, when she opened it, she grabbed her water bottle out, and the refrigerator, now she's like 15, right? So she opens, pulls it out. The door slams, bang. And she just kind of, and she didn't know really anything about the situation. We kept that very secret of between me and my wife and her mom. So she looks at us like, whoa, what just happened? And we were like, my wife knew it. She's like, oh my God. I was like, all right, nothing. I said, it's just refrigerator's old, I guess. I don't know. So she starts to walk back, and then you could hear in the back room some ruffling noise, like some type of noise going on. So we walk into the room, me and my wife, and we went into the room. There was my belt, for my work belt, sitting on the counter. It was sitting actually right next to the bed on that same nightstand, and it was rolled up. And I was probably 5 to 6 feet from it. My wife was on the right side of me, so about equal. And dude, the belt, without anybody being near it, unraveled and flew straight sideways about 3.5-4 feet and hit the ground. I was just so angry because I can see everything happening again. Like, we just went through this 3-4 months ago. My wife is, you know, pretty far along pregnant by now. And not to mention, I just lost my grandmother that, actually, she was dying of cancer. So all these things were happening at this time. So we turn around and we start walking out. And I said, I can't believe this is happening. And I yelled it. And when I did that, there's a basket of clothes sitting by the kitchen table, kind of on the floor. And my niece, our niece is standing back by the refrigerator. And with right across the floor, 5 feet, that basket slid across the floor and hit the refrigerator. My niece screamed, jumps out of her shoes almost and screams, says, "What in the heck was that?" And I'm like, oh my gosh. So we get out of the house, do this all again. So we get out, my wife gets some sage, we go back in, we do the prayers, we're back into the same situation. After this, I decided I'm angry. I'm ready to fight. I can't physically punch this thing. I can't shoot it. So I'm going to find a way to beat this thing. And as a man of the family, that's my job. So that's what I got to do, because it's nothing more in the world than being a man of the family that you physically can't do anything to be able to make things better or, you know, to make something stop. It's frustrating. So there's a place out of Kissimmee. They had these ghost investigators. Now, these guys, the guy's name's Angel. They're reputable, similar to what we did with the medium. We went through a lot of people that she knew from work that had been knowing about these guys. They've been around a minute. So he agreed to come and do an investigation. He wanted to do a walk around first. So he walks in, comes into the house, starts, you know, getting a feel for things and asking us questions. And he just stops in the middle of the bedroom. He says, "I can feel something right here." And I'm like, "What do you feel?" He's like, "Something's touching my leg." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm looking. There's nothing touching his leg, Tony, at all. He's like, "There's something right now grabbing my leg." And I'm like, "Dude, there's nothing, unless it's an entity that's doing this." I said, "Look, dude, I'm telling you, this thing is crazy." And he's like, "All right." He moves his leg, walks out. He's kind of freaked out. He says, "I'll have the guys over by tomorrow night." It's like, "All right, cool." Well, they come over. We send the kids to to the mother-in-law's. And these guys come over. First, it was just him. He comes to start doing the setup. And he's talking about, you know, what he's going to be going to do. He's going to set up monitors, you know, night vision or whatever, those cameras. And this, I'm very ignorant, dude. I don't know a lot about this ghost investigation stuff.
Yeah.
But he started telling us how he's going to set up all these cameras and monitors on these tripods. And he's going to use our garage as like the base to where he would sit with the guys and they would do, you know, visually see this. This is about 10 or 11 o'clock at night that they start the investigation. So he's walking. He walks into the kitchen area. And if you remember earlier, I told you about they had the little monkey with the heart on it that I gave my wife for Valentine's. Well, which I'm looking at right now. Sure. He was sitting on the table. The little monkey was. Well, when we walked by, it was on the table. We come back, it's not on the table anymore. And even Angel, the investigator, he said, "Dude, I know there was a little stuffed animal right here." He said, "Did y'all notice that too? It's gone?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, this is what it does." Now I feel like, yeah, it's now you're starting to see what we go through. So he's like, "Well, where did it go? What did he do? What does it do with it?" I said, "I don't know. Just look around. It'll pop up somewhere." And sure enough, in the corner, on top of the kitchen cabinet, it's sitting way up where you almost need a ladder to get up there and put it. And he's like, "How in the hell?" I was like, "Dude, I'm telling you, you have no idea." He's getting all excited now. Like, he's like, "Oh, yeah, we're going to get some activity here." I'm like, "Thanks, dude. Yeah." So we go back into the garage, and he'd already put all his stuff, laid it out, you know, in the garage. When we started walking through the house, we come back to the garage. Well, he goes to set up his stuff, and Tony, a lot of his equipment's missing. His, like, the plugs for the little plugs and stuff for the monitors are missing. There was a couple of little mic things that were missing. He's like, and the garage door's closed. This was all in a nice, neat, ordered box containment thing he had. And you can see, obviously, it's not there. The stuff's not there anymore. And he starts getting a little agitated. He's like, dude, where's the stuff? And I was like, man, I have no idea. And right to the side of it, by the washing machine, there we go. There's a couple plugs there. Down a little bit further by the water heater, there's a couple of things. It's like it just moved things to mess with them. So he turns around, and he's like, all right, let's go. And his guys got there. So they go, and they set up the monitors. They set up everything inside. And we go, and we're sitting down in the garage, and we're watching these monitors. Well, the monitors start kicking, like, in and out. It's like they'll black out or fizz out, and then they'll come back. And he's like, oh, man. He says something may be wrong or might not be connected right. And I was like, no, that's probably it, messing with you. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah. So he goes into the room. He checks the monitor. Everything's hooked up fine. He comes back, sits down. And one of the monitor, the TV's cameras or whatever, the little camera, the tripod falls over, just completely falls over. And he's like, oh, my gosh. He says, this thing doesn't want to be recorded. I said, obviously not. And we sat there for about 2 or 3 hours. A couple of little maybe shadow-type figures in the back that we would see, but nothing extreme to the point where what it would show. Well, after that, turns around and he's sitting there, and he basically said, after all this time, he's like, look, it doesn't want to be recorded. There's nothing we're going to get on the recording. He says, I would like to go. And he went with some other type of machines, like handheld machines. I'm not sure what you call those things, but basically there was two types. There was one that was almost like a speaker that it would say whether he would ask it a question and it would speak through it or something. And the other one was like almost like a white noise or something that it was picking up, sounds that was like real, real detailed or whatever. And he would go through the rooms. Well, he goes into the master bedroom with the master bath in our room. And he said, I can't remember the exact wording he used, but it was something on the level of what do you want? You know? And it said, the little box said, leave. And the guy asked it again. He said, what do you want? He said, leave. And he's like, who do you want to leave? It said, you. You leave. And we're like, yeah, that's pretty much it right there. So he turns and he says, well, what? How do we know that you belong here? Or something on that level. And we had my son, this kind of jumps off subject, but brings you back when I tell you, my son had found a rabbit. Okay. Just this little white rabbit at the park that somebody had abandoned. It was a friendly pet, you know, nice rabbit. Well, we'd always put this rabbit in the bathroom at night because it would poop everywhere around the house if we didn't. So we'd already got rid of the rabbit and at the time and all that, but he asked that question, and it said rabbit as he's standing in that bathroom where the rabbit was, used to be. And it said it again, rabbit. Then it said, you leave. So this went on, dude. It must have been almost 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, going back and forth. Now, he was picking up some readings on the other machine, but you really couldn't hear it. It just sounded like fuzz like that. And he said he would have to go and break it down. I guess he had sound equipment or something. He would have to break it down and be able to understand it. So after that, man, it was just, it stopped. There was no activity. It didn't have anything else for the rest of the evening. They ended up packing up, and I showed them the house. I didn't go show them physically. I just told them where the other house was, where originally it happened. And that was that. They left. Well, my wife tried to reach back out to this guy, Angel, to find out, because the guy said he would follow up with us. Really nice guy, you know. And he never followed up. And my wife's like trying to get a hold of him, you know, and he finally called her back and basically just said that the stuff he heard on the computer or whatever that he broke down, it was too hard to make out, and it was just kind of rumbling and mumbling. He said that there was nothing else he could do, that he would advise us to get a priest. And I was like, okay. Well, after that, we had another person come by, which was a friend of a friend, and they started doing some weird stuff, Tony, like asking like us questions about there was a ritual or something they can do, and that's when I drew the line. I said, okay, we're done. I'm not having any sacrifices on my lawn or anything like that. I was like, this is crazy. So we decided after that we were going to move, and we moved again far away from that area. And it still comes and goes. Nothing like it once was. There's no physical contact, but I'm going to tell you right now that as soon as I brought up to my wife about doing this show, this interview with you, which I, you know, my wife even made a comment and told me, she was like, you sure you want to do this? She's like, you know, you're going to end up pissing it off. And I'm like, yeah, probably. I'm tired of dealing with it. But it started having slight activity. But the night that you emailed me back to set the date, when I set the date to do this, I was sleeping and I woke up. And when I woke up, it was like in my ear. I mean, literally somebody or something was like to the touch of my ear almost. And it said, let it go. In a weird noise, like, let it go. And it tripped me out. And I woke my wife up. I'm like, look, something just happened. She's like, I told you. I was like, yeah. Then after that, we have a community pool. So we took the kids. This was another day. The other day, we took the kids to the community pool. And we were swimming and got out, started talking about it, about the, you know, situation, kind of going over everything that had happened, because, like I said, this is over a four-year period that this is happening. So trying to just remember all the things and examples of what had happened. And she's like, yeah. She's like, it hasn't really done anything. She's like, I don't think it has power anymore or strength. She's like, it hasn't moved the picture, because you know her, she loves pictures. And she's like, it hasn't touched the picture. It hasn't done nothing, hardly at all. I was like, yeah. So we come back. We walk in through the house. And right there, pictures. The same picture that it started with me and her on our birthday, was turned upside down, sitting against the oven or the stove. And I said, oh, there you go. And then, like I said, on the way home from work today, I was talking to my wife about doing this interview and told her, of course, you'd be giving me a call. And I'm kind of a sports junkie, so I listen to a lot of sports channels as well as on my work radio. So I'm sitting there, and I was talking to my wife, and I was like, yeah, last thing I told her, I was like, yeah, Tony will be calling around, and then her phone, it just went out, my phone, her phone, whatever, lost connection. As soon as that happened, I look at my phone, and the radio comes on full blast, and it's just jamming to a song by Zac Brown Band, Put Your Toes in the Water or something. And I don't even listen to much music at all. And then for that to happen, it kind of blew my mind on that. So that's kind of the gist of it and the story. I mean, it's, I mean, most people, man, if you would have told me this before I experienced it, what this is, I would tell you you were crazy. I mean, that's how crazy this stuff has had an effect on me and my wife. But for the most part, things have been more normal now than it has been in a long time. So let's hope that it maintains like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I tell you, that story is just, I mean, the way it all unfolds and stuff. I mean, it happens so fast. It happens so fast. I mean, it's like out of nowhere, all of a sudden this activity happened. I mean, especially in the beginning, it was like one thing after another the same day, right?
Yeah. Well, it was over a weekend period, started on the 27th of January, and we were leaving the house the 29th. To go to her mom's the night that the cat jumped with us and took off. So just that weekend and a day or two of work, we had the median, we had the, you know, the deal with the beginning of the ghost, the encounter with it, and we had the leaving to go to her mother's, and then of course we came back to move the U-Haul. So all that happened within a week of just mad mayhem. Now I can bring up another thing. We also. I was just out of curiosity. I mean, we were friends with the neighbors. You know, it's a friendly neighborhood. So I walked, it was across the street. There's a guy that I was friends with, you know, and I just spoke to him, not in detail because I didn't want to come off crazy or something with the situation that was going on. So I just brought up, hey, what do you know about this house, man? You know, like, what's the history on this? People that have come and gone, or it's a rental home. And he said, dude, he said, it's funny you ask. And I was like, why is that? He's like, man, they had a guy lived here, and he got arrested, he said, for like selling drugs or something. And I mean, look, Tony, it's a nice neighborhood, nice house and all that. It's just the guy, for some reason, got busted for something and he went to jail. Then the guy before that, he said, got arrested for almost killing his wife. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He said he beat her pretty bad. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And then the time before that, he said there was a couple that lived there. And he said there was always arguing. He said the guy used to be mad at the world, always screaming at the kids. Like, he was just a very nasty guy lived there. And I'm like, I almost think something to do with that house, you know, or that I know it's an entity that follows us, but it seems the closer you get to that house, the stronger it becomes.
So do you think that this was a completely separate entity that was that you guys are dealing with or were dealing with from the one that kind of was bothering you in Orlando when you moved to Orlando?
Dude, I've tried so many ways to connect that to see if it was a connection. I have no idea. I mean, if you take one piece out of that puzzle of what I just told you, for example, if you take the median out, then we don't have any explanation of anything about this thing, really, of detail when it comes to being a 20-some-year-old guy. She also, I forgot to mention, she also said that he died of some type of overdose or drug overdose. Couldn't tell if it was in the house or not, but she said it drew its energy from the house. So, I don't know, you know, if you take her explanation, I mean, look, this woman, she's got like 9,000 followers or likes or something on Facebook. She's internationally known. She's got books.
Yeah.
I mean, she's big. Name,
I know who I know who you're talking about.
Oh, do you really? Okay.
Heidi Jaff, right?
You know her. Okay.
Yeah, I know who she is.
Is she reputable?
As far as I know. I mean, okay. I haven't delved into mediums and psychics a whole lot, but as far as I know, yeah.
That's crazy. You know her from all the way over in Philly. That's
well,
crazy.
I hear a lot about people.
Yeah.
With what I do and stuff, I kind of get around.
I got you, man. But yeah, she came in and that's what she told us, dude. And I mean, she also said that after the baby was born, it wouldn't mess with us anymore. So, you know, take it that way or another. I could tell you my true belief in my heart, dude. What I really believe is I believe there's something malevolent, I guess you would call it, evil. And I believe it's, I don't think it's possession like to take possession of a person or something, but it, I believe it has like an aura. Like right now I can tell you it's not here. Like if I would go around it or my wife, it's like crazy. You would know, you could feel it. Like the hair on your neck will stand up. Also I've noticed after that incident where it hit me on my back, I don't know if I'm just scared or if I'm what they call sensitive now, to where I feel things sometimes. Just like I'll be sitting, you know, in the living room watching TV, and I see shadows on the side of, you know, coming from the side. I mean, things like that. I don't know. Is it my mind playing tricks on me because of all the stuff that's happened, or it's a really scary thought, man.
And that's after the baby's been born, right?
Yeah, she's pregnant again, bro.
Oh, jeez.
So that's where I actually was scared, you know, because the last time she had mentioned, the media mentioned that it was something dealing with the bringing the pictures of the baby home that triggered this thing. And my wife is 5 months pregnant now with another little girl. And I just got a little nervous thinking, dude, what if this, but it hasn't been any crazy. I mean, something whispering in your ear, dude, waking you up, that's crazy. I ain't gonna lie, that is. But to me, that's just like, okay, you know, just leave me alone, let me go back to bed. I mean, that's what it comes to, where it's to the point, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that, man. Well, you got a lot of crap that you've had happen in your life, man. I tell you, some of the things that you experienced, I mean, the Civil War entities that you saw are, you know, child's play compared to what you've been experiencing.
Tried to tell you that. And when I was talking to you earlier, I was saying that earlier. I said, dude, I can explain to you I didn't want to confuse the situation with mixing the two stories, because I really truly believe they could be different, you know, as in from what had happened to me. Now with the shadow, the actual thing that triggered me, dude, with the shadow thing was was a shadow hat, or the hat, the top hat with your wife, you said, I guess at the
hat
beginning.
Man.
Yeah, when you talked about that and you start talking about shadows and the shadow man and all that, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to bring that story up to Tony and see if maybe that could be a connection. But then when I started thinking about, well, I was going to tell you everything, but I was like, man, that's a lot to take in, you know, even for some people. So I don't know, man. I didn't want to sound too far out there. I actually even told my supervisor at work, which me and him are friends, and he's like, holy crap, dude. He said, that's the most amazing story I've ever heard. He said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm fine. I was like, it's nothing I'm really excited about anymore. I don't want it to come back. That's all I know. It's a very scary fault.
Yeah, I can understand you don't want it to come back. Now, do you feel like it's going to come back? I mean, throughout the patterns of your life, really, you have majority of your life where you've had experiences like this. Do you think it's going to come back?
I think so. I think with traumatic, or I don't know, Tony, you know, I believe it's a lot to do with a person, like it could be anybody that maybe experiences an extreme situation or emotion of a tragedy or anything. Because like at the time I was saying, my grandmother was dying of cancer. I lost my mom. And on top of that, I had my wife being pregnant. So that was a weak moment for me, you know, like I was weak. So anybody that's weak, and this goes for anybody, that falls into that hole, it can really, I think things can attach to you, man. I think it, I think it could come back, because who's to say, I don't know if I can have another tragedy, you know, or something else that might trigger me down to that point to where it would come back. But I hope not, you know?
Yeah, I can understand, obviously, the hoping not, but, you know, I guess the thing is to prepare yourself at least mentally for the, you know, I hate to say it this way, but the inevitable, you know, because it seems like it's inevitable.
You know, it's a true point, you know. And then what's kind of crazy is that when you have certain things happen to you in life, whether it be spiritual or could be, you know, things that happen to you on a day-to-day basis with a loved one, anything. Once you've gone through it, you're more prepared to handle it the next time. So whatever that could be. So, I mean, that's why I look at it like, well, if this thing comes back or whatever it is that if it wants to go for another round, at least I know what to expect to the most part. I think it's the only thing, the only way I can think to be logical. If there's logic to be said, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it go from like normal day for me, Tony, is watching an Orlando Magic game or a Saints game and playing, you know, playing sports with the kids, coaching basketball, coaching football, you know, having a normal life. Like what I speak to you, I didn't speak, nobody knows this. So except for my supervisor at work, but me and him, we can keep things between us. But that's what I'm saying. It's like nobody would ever think anything like this would have happened to my family because we are strong and we hold it together pretty well.
Yeah. So do you think, I mean, I'm assuming you get the feeling that this entity was with your wife before you were in the picture, right?
I want to say it was. I even asked her, I said, baby, I said, did you in the past have maybe a boyfriend or something that happened to that he died that may have been in love with you or something that, or somebody that was tied to you that really cared for you that died that is protective of you? Or she was like, no, she was like, not nothing. That's not normal. I was like, well, I don't know. But I feel like it attacked me. It tried to push me out of the picture. I believe it never did any harm to her. It did kind of mess with the kids a little bit, not my daughter so much, and I'm praying that she doesn't ever have to have anything in sense of this or anything. You know, I'd rather her not to ever even think of this, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't see how. I've never had anything with me that I knew of that I would have carried with me, anything spiritual. I mean, dude, I listened to a couple of your podcasts, and I think there was one of them that, it was pretty extreme with even, like, I think demonic entities and stuff. And I was listening to it, and I was thinking, nah, man, there's no way, you know? I mean, I couldn't see how that could work.
Yeah, well, it does.
No, and I was actually a worship leader in church. I'm a musician. I play guitar, sing, play piano, all kind of different instruments. So, it, you know, at the time, I'd been out of church too. So, I don't know. There's so many questions that I could actually spend myself in circles for hours thinking and not come up with one answer. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Nick, I appreciate you coming on, sharing the story with us and talking with us a little bit about your experiences. It's definitely fascinating. And one, in the beginning of the show, when we were talking about Louisiana and the Civil War battles and how we were able to kind of match those things up a little bit, mm-hmm. which is, I thought was pretty cool.
Right.
But then the immediate roller coaster that you went on, like seemingly right away, it's fascinating. It's just fascinating yeah. how that all unfolded for you. And obviously it's not something that's welcomed, but it's something that, you know, for me, in my perspective, it's fascinating to hear. It's just like, holy crap. I can't imagine.
Man. And if there's anybody that has any type of similar incidences, man, if you know of, and you know my email address, I'd be willing to listen to any thoughts, solutions, or ideas, you know, if something like this triggers back up.
Yeah, well, I would highly suggest that you check out the episode. I think it's episode 126, Say It With a Smile. That episode, what he describes in that show sounded awfully similar to what you were describing.
All right. Did he have any other incidences that happened with that entity afterwards or anything that would have maybe been more extreme?
I don't remember all the details. I just remember that sticking out in my head because of what you said. So check it out and stuff. I published it a few weeks ago. So you should, I think you'll enjoy it at least, or at least find some similarities like I did.
Yeah. On a lighter note, man, I just want to tell you thank you. And I appreciate you listening. And you know, what you got going on. It's a really good thing for a lot of people. It's going to at least have people like me. I would have never been able to open up if it wasn't for this podcast. So thank you.
Oh, I absolutely appreciate it, man. And that's what we're here for. We're here to just share people's stories and let them get it off their chest. And I'm glad you were able to do that.
It definitely happened. And if I come up with anything else on that, the war and the battle over there, the Vermilion Bayou, I'll shoot you maybe an email or something or post it on your group.
Sounds good to me, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy, go ahead and share the show with your friends. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, email, water coolers. I don't care how you share the show, but if you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends so they can enjoy it too, because that is the best thing you can do to help the show grow. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Bye.
I do it for the culture, I take you global. I be Moreno, papi loco, since 88. I like dance on the lolo, it's in my torso. I got fire like some cultures, get in my ojos. Okay, okay, we don't walk away, in my go day, no way am I gonna leave. Oh no, not today, do not behaving, but it's on the lead. Weep before you speak, go. Think before you eat. How you love a country food more than its people, cause I think you hide behind your politics. Yeah. You do not want answers, you want arguments. Okay, yes, I love the kingdom more than I love my nation. Yeah, yes, I love my neighbor more than I love his papers. Okay, okay, stop, stop. Still lying. We thrive, we thrive. We don't, do not die. Coming live from the Citadel, I was made alive and then thinking fail. When Washington fell, still hit a Denzel.
Love,
till we live well, we gon' play the role real well.
Long live the champion.
Yeah.
Nah, nah,
arriba,
campeón.
Woo. One time for the South Side.
Nah, nah, arriba, campeón.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shout out to
champion. Campeón. Singing my song.
Nah, nah, arriba, campeón. Arriba, campeón.
ENC.
Long live
the champion. ENC se unió con el KB. Buscando mi sortilla como KD. Un saludo a los boricuas en el Navy. Representaron latino y son KB. Nos hicimos bajo el sol, baños de sudor. Laboramos todos los días, aunque hubo dolor. Lo negativo no nos mata, nos hace mejor. Nuestra fuerza no depende del alrededor. Cuba, Chile, Nicaragua, Argentina y Bolivia. Latinos somos ya familia, unidos como nos dice la Biblia. Quiero que la gente me suba las manos bien altas para el techo. Y si tú eres latino y no te avergüenzas, pues date dos puños bien duros para el pecho.
And I met the bravest, what they still sing when they're living through the anguish. Never be famous when you got a smile for your kids when you know that they in danger. You feel anger, Puerto Rico, many bodies never claimed you. And when you look into your neighbor and you get hatred, but they be back for vacation. But the people still make it, they will never break it. Come on, you're living on with the grace here. Being made here, spend a couple days here. See the courageous people that you don't want to migrate here. Probably really want to have a gospel for the nations. Cause I see sheep when you say your heart's full, homie. I see eat when I see weak. I pray to God, I see me. Come on.
One time for the South Side.
Mommy, you're a fighter. We just wanna live. I cannot forget. As long as I live, I'll be standing right here. We just wanna live. Let the light in. Always alive, you are not forgotten. We just wanna live. Let the light in. Trouble won't last, but the word will. Baby, we just gotta live. I got a tear. Just wanna live. Better rock on it. Hey.
Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. I bought a motorcycle. Started hanging out with drug dealers, but like rich ones. And we flew helicopters. I ended up taking down a communist regime with a band of rebels. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. I tossed it, giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. I'm alive today, but jacketless. We'll buy this jacket again soon. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Thank you for listening to Amazon 5-Star Theater. Looking for unforgettable gifts this holiday season, like a jacket that becomes your whole personality? Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boo. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment.
The audio transmitter also allows for JBL Spatial 360 sound that takes any audio and turns it into a 360 immersive experience.
What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Love the night? Reach for Zin After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zin's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and espresso martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers. Available while supplies last. Zin After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.